Okay. Psalms chapter number 11 this morning. The book of Psalms chapter number 11. As I've been studying, I've been really debating where to go with the message. And I think it might even spread out into this morning and tonight's message. And we're going to look at Psalms chapter 11 and Psalms chapter number 12. They are both written by David. They're written on two different incidents and two different things in their life, but they work together. And sometimes the Psalms are grouped together and they work together that way. And two specifically different incidents, but there's some things that the Lord's laid upon my heart this morning, and I think it will probably boil over into tonight unless we can get all the way finished, or if it bombs and we don't want to, we'll figure something else out. I have something else planned for this evening, but I think the Lord's going to it'd be a little bit too long to try to do it all on one side. So let's look here, and there's a phrase that's found in chapter 12, verse number 1. I want you to think about for a second. It's a prayer. It says, "Help, Lord." I mean, sometimes that's all we can do, and all we can say is just cry out to the Lord, "We need his help." But the rest of that phrase is what God's been working on my heart throughout this week is, for the godly, is this off, Max? Is the pulpit mic off? Okay. It says, "For the godly man ceases." I began thinking about that a little bit. "For the faithful fail from among the children of men." And the Lord's begin working on my heart saying, where are all the godly people? Where are all the people that live like the Lord and think the way that God wants us to think and love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates? And he comes and says, where are all the godly people? The godly man ceases. So I began thinking and just God speaking and working in my heart, and I look around, and I'm not talking about anybody specific, but I'm saying in this world, there's not a lot of good, godly people out there today. There's not a lot of people out there that thinks the way that God wants us to think. We can have the mind of Christ. There's not a lot of people. They're looking. And I think about it, and God began speaking in my heart about the different people he's looking for. And there's spots in the Bible it talks about in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" So in the scripture saying there, look, there's a faithful man. Who can find a faithful man? Now I know what you're thinking, dependable. And that's what faithful means. And I know what people are getting when they say that. But Judas, he was dependable, wasn't he? I think faithful many times is referring to the fact that they're full of faith. They're looking for someone who lives for the Lord, and believes in God and trusts in God, and they're going to go, dependability is important. We want people to be here. When people are not here, we miss you. Dependability is important. But what the Bible is saying is, who can find a faithful man? They're saying he's looking for men that are filled with faith. And you think about what the verse says about ladies. It says in Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 10, who can find a virtuous woman? And where are they at? And I look across the world today, and I even see in churches, and I see in our, definitely in our government, and I see in families, and we're looking for, hey, where are all the faithful men? Where are the virtuous women or the women? And then I think about where some of the other spots in the Bible where it talks about the Lord seeking. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, the Bible says, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not be destroyed, but I found none." During that time, God is saying, I looked throughout the land. I was looking for someone who would stand in the gap, that would stand in the gap before me, before the land. He said, I searched and I didn't find anyone. And I think about also when it says in 2 Chronicles 16, 9, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." And I begin thinking, is my heart perfect toward him? The Lord is looking for people to show himself strong through, whose heart is perfect toward him. Where are the faithful men? Where are the virtuous women? Where are those whose heart is perfect towards him and in a right relationship with him that he can show himself strong? He's looking for those to stand in the gap. And when I was reading this and I see David writing this, he says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases." And I turned around and I said, where are the godly men today? And I know what some people come, well, what about this person? What about this person? Or even myself, or we think for ourselves, hey, what about me? And then you come to the spot, we look at things a different way. We look at that person that's always here and think, well, that person's got to be a person that's full of faith. It doesn't always mean that. And I think about the story. Remember when David was chosen to be king when he was anointed? He goes there and Samuel's there, and Samuel's been around too for how many years? He's been around Saul. And what was impressive about Saul? He was big, he was strong, taller, head and shoulders above everybody else. So Daniel goes there, I'm sorry, David's there, and Samuel comes to the house, and he meets all David's brothers. David's still out there keeping the sheep. And he goes up, and he sees the first guy, and he sees how big and strong he is, and says, surely this must be the Lord's anointed. But we all know how the story worked. They had to go get David from watching the sheep and say, hey, David, come on in. None of these guys are going to work. Remember what the verse said? It says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And so when I was reading this, I'm reading David, and he's crying out, and he's in a desperate spot, and we're going to talk a little bit about the desperate spot he was in, and we're going to look at it and going to say, you know, he's saying, help, Lord. There's a reason, because the godly men have ceased. And then you read those verses. Who can find a faithful man? Where is the virtuous woman? God saying, hey, I'm looking for somebody to show myself strong through. And then you consider the fact that he says, don't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. So as we sit here and consider this morning in chapter 11, chapter number 12, there's some verses here I think that will be encouragement and help to us. Let's dive in. Chapter number 11, most Bible commentators believe is during the time period when Saul has gone a little bit crazy. Saul throws the javelin, tries to kill David. David's friends and David's family is kind of saying, okay, you need to leave. You need to go flee. You need to go get to a place of safety. So look what it says here in chapter number 11. And the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the right upright in heart. And then verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Last year we spent a good part of the year thinking about our theme, thinking about the word consider, and we had a series talk about the great questions of the Bible. And I love that question there. And it's one of the questions that was on the list to possibly preach on, and because I didn't get to do all the ones I wanted to last year because of the COVID stuff, we might go to some more great questions of the Bible, but what can the righteous do? We live in a day and a time where it seems like everything's falling apart around us. Everything that we thought was foundational, everything that we thought was important, everything that was what we stood as strong ground, it's breaking apart. And David comes and says, what can the righteous do? What are we supposed to do? And that's what we're going to look at a little bit this morning, what we can do. Keep on going. It says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Look at the response. David's family and friends possibly are telling him, hey, look, you need to head out of town. Saul's crazy. Come back when it's good. And Saul, David does flee at another time, but at this moment in time, God's not leading in the lead. He says, you look, even if all the foundations, everything is torn down, look where the Lord's at. The Lord's still there. The rest of the world can go crazy, and everything I have built my trust upon in this world, if all the foundations crack, if someone turns their back on me, if someone leaves, if the government falls apart, look past all that and see where the Lord's at. Because there is a foundation out there that cannot be broken. There is a foundation that we should be building upon, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that rock that we can run to. He is our foundation. That's not the foundation he's talking about here. David is saying in his life, hey, look, everything's going crazy. I've been anointed to be king. King Saul has asked me to come to play this harp. He picks up this javelin and he tries to kill me and pin me up against the wall. Everything around me that I think is normal, everything around me that I think would be right and good, that's falling apart. But there's something I see. Look at where God's at. Even if all the other world is going crazy, look where the Lord's at. And it says it in verse number 4 here. The Lord, he's worried. Doesn't say that. The Lord doesn't know what to do. Doesn't say that. He says the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked shall he rain snares fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Now, I think you could keep on reading, and we know that many times the chapters and books of the Bible and things like that, the chapters breakups were things that were man-made, but the Psalms are ones that were different, and the Psalms many times are their own little entities, and it's a different subject, but you can just keep on reading along. Help, Lord. You know, all the foundations have been broken down. I see you sitting in your holy temple. I still see you on the throne. Help, Lord. And where are we going to get our help from today? When all the other things that we're counting on and all the other things that we are trusting and all those other foundations that we expected would be there, where are we going to get it? Right here from the Lord. And that's when David cries out, help, Lord. And then he says this, the godly men ceases. And then continues on, and the faithful fail from among the children of men. Now look at the next words. As they're ceasing and as the faithful, they're failing among men. Look how they respond. Look at what they're saying. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. That's another verse I was thinking about this week as I was reading through the chapter, trying to keep it in context. The wicked shall walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. I tell you, there's a lot of vile men that are exalted today, a lot of vile women that are exalted, and we are surrounded by a lot of wickedness and evil and darkness out there. What happens when everything that we have trusted in before begins to crack, begins to crumble, and begins to fall apart? What should the righteous do? Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Lord, we stand at a time that you've created us to be here for. Lord, it's no accident that we're here in 2021. It's no accident that we're here in America. It's no accident about the things that are happening. Lord, you knew all this ahead of time. Just as David asked this question, what should the righteous do? Many of us sitting and asking the same question, what's happening in the world. What should the righteous do? Seems like foundations are being pulled apart. People are failing us. Things are being a struggle in many areas. What should the righteous do? It seems like the godly man is few and far between. It seems like it's ceasing. It seems like the faithful ones, the ones that were full of faith, are going amongst men and they're talking and they're talking and they're talking, but they're not talking about spiritual things. God, we need a mighty moving of you. Lord, we need true heaven-sent revival. It doesn't happen corporately as much as it happens individually. And Lord, I pray that you pierce our hearts with this thought and this question. Am I a godly person? Am I a faithful man? A virtuous woman? Is my heart right and perfect with you so you can show yourself strong? Lord, I don't want you to keep on searching around and not find someone who can stand for you in this land. Lord, help us to determine in our hearts and mind, as the Spirit leads, to be godly individuals that can be used by the Lord. Help us not look at the outward exterior. Help us to start with our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So what should the righteous do? I don't know how many times I've asked that question myself, not using those exact words, but what am I supposed to do today? Where am I supposed to go? How am I supposed to act? We watch things happen inside of our country and with our government, and we just shake our head, and we wonder, what can I do? What should I do? And I like the verses here. David's in a tough spot. There are people who are trying to convince him, hey, look, you need to flee. They're good-hearted people. They're thinking what they think is best for David. And David says to them, in the Lord put I my trust. So the first point is, the first thing that the righteous should do is they should trust in God. They should trust the Lord. It says here, and the Lord put on my trust. He's there, and there are people trying to tell him to do something that he feels like he does not need to do. And he says to them, look, I have put my trust in the Lord. I appreciate what you're saying. I appreciate what's going on in your heart, but I put my trust in the Lord. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? He says, even though in verse number 2, for lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. And then he says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I think we need to learn how to trust in the Lord. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Of course I trust in God. No, I want you to find God's will for your life. And sometimes it may be leaving an area, but sometimes, like David is saying, hey, look, he's telling me to stay. The worst thing that we can do today is stop trusting in him. There's a huge difference between being an individual that is just trying to bide their time and trying to get to heaven and a person that's staying in the will of God. The real danger that David's saying here is the real problem could be this. I don't want to get out of God's will. I know what you're saying, and I know it makes sense, and logically, maybe that's where I should go, but I don't want to do anything unless the Lord tells me to do it. The real danger in the world that we live in today is if we begin listening to other people instead of listening to God. If we let other people lead us and direct us that are not hearing from the Lord instead of hearing for ourselves from God. It's not the danger of the fact that, yes, it seems like the evil is winning. It seems like there's so much hypocrisy out there, and it seems like there's so much wickedness, and it seems like there's so many horrible sins that are being thrown at us all the time. Look what it says in verse number 8, chapter 12. The wicked walk on every side. It's like wickedness is all around us. What's the danger there? Is the wicked going to destroy us? No. There's a foundation that our relationship with God is built upon. We're going to go to heaven no matter what happens in this world. We have something to look forward to. God is still on the throne. But the danger of today is getting out of God's will. Who knows what God has planned for you today to make a difference in the world that we're living in? So many times they're like, what should I do? What should I do? We should get on our faces and pray, yes, for our nation. That's biblical. But we should get on our faces and say, God, what is it you want me to do today? I hear what the world is saying. I hear what my friends are saying. I hear what my family is saying. But I need to hear from you. What is it you want me to do today? And we need to learn how to trust in him. David, yes, it would have made sense to flee. Yes, it would have made sense to come back. And that happens. David does flee. David does come back. All these things. But that was all part of God's will. God was making a plan. God had a plan for David. You see, all the things that God put him through, he wasn't ready to be king at that point in time. But after David learned how to trust God with that first javelin and then the next javelin, and when all the running around and all the other things that happened, God built a man. David started with being a man after God's own heart. That's what the description of David is. God says to Samuel, I have found me a man. He says, it's a man that's after God's own heart. I'm wondering today, what can a Christian do, or what can the righteous do today? And I think the most important thing is to realize that we can trust in him. And you continue on reading, and what it says in verse number 4, 5, 6, and 7. It says, the Lord is holy in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord knows what the children of men are doing. And keep on going. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. The Lord doesn't like what's going on. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. This is what's going to happen in the future. We can trust God with our lives. Make sure you're where God wants you to be today. You say, Pastor, I'm in church. I get it. Yeah, of course you're supposed to be here. But are you in his will? I need to get out of my own personal interests. I need to get past all these other things so I can be in the will of God. Because yes, all these things that are happening. America needs some godly men. America needs some men that are faithful. It needs some virtuous women. God needs to be able to find some people that are in America that are willing to stand a gap and stand and do what's right. And the only way that's going to happen is when we begin to seek out what God's will is for us instead of what makes sense to this world. Instead of what makes sense for others, and maybe what even makes sense in our own life. If we were David, and God sent David on that journey, sort of like the journey he sent on Joseph, and I've been thinking about Bible characters over and over that God says, hey, I found someone. I found a Noah that found grace in the eyes of God that built helped build the ark and saved the world. He found someone like Daniel that during that time period that would stand up for God. You know, he did so many different things, and people would have said, that's not the route I would have taken. Why couldn't Joseph just become the prince of Egypt just back then? No, it didn't work that way. When things are going hard and difficult and trials are coming and situations are coming at you, when the foundations are being broken, there's a few times in my life that the foundation has been pulled out right from under me. A few times in my life where I was like, wow, I didn't see that happening. You ever had that happen for you? I mean, besides what's going on in our government and what's going on in this world, it seems like it's been going. I remember the time that I loved my church growing up. I was there a lot. And that our pastor went and they found a new pastor. That new pastor did something wrong. He did something immoral. And he had to leave the church because of the immorality he had. And my heart was broken. And the foundations, because I had been in that church my whole life, the foundation there was, who can I trust if I can't trust my pastor? And the Lord taught me, he's just a man, makes mistakes. Yes, you follow people that are following after the Lord, but he made a mistake. And that's for the godly man ceases. But God's still on the throne. The faithful have gone among the men. But you know what? God's still on the throne. And I come to the realization that that day in my life, the foundation of everything that I thought and that I was growing, and I was actually at that point in time studying in a Bible college. God had been working in my heart in such a special and powerful way. And it's like everything I was thinking was headed in the right direction. And those foundations crumbled. Yes, the church is still there. But you know, the church has changed. The new pastor that they brought in ended up thinking it was, make it a community church, community style church. There's a rock band on the stage most weeks. And you know what? That foundation, it broke. But my relationship with God was still real. And you know what? What that taught me in my life was, I serve him first and foremost. Yes, there is leadership that God gives us. Yes, that leadership, as they're following the Lord, you should follow with them. But there are times in our lives when men are going to fail, but don't let that stop you. That's what Saul was there. I can imagine. I can only imagine that David probably thought a lot of Saul. I mean, this guy's huge. He's tall. He's short. He's the king. I'm sure his presence there would have been something that most people would have thought, wow. But this guy, who he's going to replace someday, is throwing a javelin at him. The position that someday he's going to become king, his foundation there, he says, look, if the foundations fall, or if the foundations break, or as it says, the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I want you to get to the spot. You can trust the Lord. It's key. It's important. Do not give up on God's will for your life. Don't throw it away just because someone else fails. Don't get discouraged just because somebody else falters. I mean, it would have been really easy back then at 27 or whenever it happened, or 28, says, hey, forget going to Bible college. I was working 9 to 9 at night, going to Bible college during the daytime, even helping teaching at a Christian school in my days I didn't go to. And there was a lot that God was working in my heart. But when that happened, it's like, what? I'm studying to be a pastor, and a pastor can do something like that? It's foundations can be destroyed in this earthly things. But there is one that will never be destroyed. There's one foundation you can build your life upon, which is Christ, which cannot be destroyed. I want to encourage you today. First thing is trust in God. Second thing I want you to think about is found in a little bit more in verse chapter number 12 is trust in God's word. Look what it says here in chapter 12, verse number 1. Help, Lord. Oh, what a prayer we need. If we don't know what we need to just cry out to him, help, Lord. My help comes from God. You know, there's other people who help, and the Lord speaks to people's hearts. We come to this realization, I'm trusting in the Lord. The only help I'm really going to get is from God. He's got to make the difference. He's the one I depend upon. He's the one I trust on. He is the one for me. Help, Lord. And David cries out, and I'll probably tell you tonight a little bit more about this story. For the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail among the children of men. And then you begin seeing the words of these people. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue those people that are just talking, and you get tired of them talking, get tired of hearing them. There's certain people out there that the media just is a media darling, and you can't believe the lies that are coming out of their mouth, but they just keep on being told over and over and over. You know what the Bible says? The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. Amen. It'd be nice if that happened today. Shut up all the wicked people. And the tongue, the speak of proud things. Man, and a lot of people wouldn't be able to talk who have said, with our tongue, we will prevail. That's what they're saying today. We're going to win. We're going to win. Our lips are our own. Who is the Lord over us? And the Lord talks about the response there for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now why arise? And he's going to fight for us. Save the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And these are what I want you to take notice of. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, that thou shalt preserve them for this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. So in verses 2, 3, and 4, you get the idea of David saying there are people that have, faithful people that have fallen, even those that are godly that are now speaking bad things, and they don't know what they're saying, and they're saying, who is the Lord that should be over us? And in verse number 8, it talks about how when the vilest men are exalted, that wicked's going to be all around us. What can we trust in? We can trust in the Lord, because David says, look, yeah, you see all the things happening, but look where God's at. He's on his holy in the holy temple in verse number 4. The Lord's on the throne in chapter number 11. And here he says, I can also trust in his word. This is the thing that we must get to. We got to believe what that book says, even if it differs with conservative media. Who knows what conservative media nowadays, what that really is. If somebody says something contrary to this word, guess what? This word's right. It's been purified. It's been tried. It's been tried, and it's been tried, and it's been tried. Guess what? It's always been right. It always will be right. You can trust in his word. Now, here's the thing is, are we reading it? Do we know it? In our Sunday school class this morning, I talked to the young adults about the word in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. There's talked about a couple of people that were addicted to the ministry. And I used the idea of being the things that we're addicted to and what addiction was. And they gave some thoughts and different things people are addicted to and all types of things. And I came up with this thought that there's things in this world that most people love more than they love God. And there was different examples. I think the first one was social media or Facebook, sports, basketball specifically. There was a long list of different things. And the challenge was, who are we supposed to love the most? Who's supposed to be the most in our life? It's God, and it's God's word. And then we began talking, going back and forth about things that people are addicted to. As they have a reliance upon, they're exuberant about it, they love these things, or there's the addiction and the idea that they are dependent upon it because they've trained their body. And we began thinking, why is it so easy to do the things of the world and so hard to do the things of God? Why is it so easy to watch your TV and veg out, but we struggle with opening our Bibles? Why is it that we can talk gossip really, really easy and enjoy it, but we can't talk to him? And I talked about, and I asked where addictions came from, and they said it starts really, really small, and it grows and grows and grows. And we use that illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And if you were reading your devotions in the book that many of you have, it came and talked about being addicted to the ministry. And it's this idea that you can be passionate about God. Your love's just mixed up. And that passion you had about those things over there that you love, and I know addiction is a hard word, and if you were in Sunday school class, you'd understand the correlation that went along with it. But there are a lot of things that we enjoy doing and love doing, but we don't even open up the Word of God. How can we say we trust it when we don't even know it? How can we say we believe it when we don't even live it? How can we say, hey, I love this addiction, we wouldn't call it addiction, I love this enjoyment, this pleasure, and I can spend hours doing it, and I can't live without this. But if I miss my Bible reading, it's okay. I don't like it, it makes me feel bad. I'm discouraged when I do that, and I want to do better. I make promises I'm going to do better tomorrow, but I can't live without that. There's a problem. And when we say we need to trust in the Lord, and that we trust in God, and we can trust in His Word because it's been purified 7 times, and then we don't even take time to open it up and read it and learn of it, we're not trusting in it. We're believing what someone else told us. It's not personal. That's why our faith is shaken many times. Well, that's just what you think. And that's when you have verses 2, 3, and 4, people saying all these things and running their mouths. Oh, what about this? And what about this? What about this? Do you know it for yourself? Where is the godly men and women? Where are the faithful men? Who can find? Where is the virtuous women today? Where are they? God's looking for people that are willing to stand in the gap. And he said back in Ezekiel, I can't find them. But would he find one here? Or would he find multiple ones here? Would he be able to search through all of America looking for someone whose heart is perfect, which means mature and in line with his thinking, a godly individual, someone he could show himself strong in because they believe him and they love him and they want to serve him? Would he find that somewhere? Would he? David says to him, I know what you're saying, but do you trust in me? Because David says, in the Lord I put my trust, in verse number 1. Another thing that, if you read that book, I think it was the day before, it talked about the guys that turned the world upside down in the book of Acts. And he said they looked at those guys and said, they turned the world upside down. We can't turn anything upside down because there's so much like it. We are so much like this world. We do the things of the world. We listen to things the world listens to. We watch the things the world watches. We act so much like the world. We blend in. We don't turn things upside down. Where is the godly gone? My challenge for you today is to seek God and say, God, I think I'm a godly individual. Show me where it's wrong. Or, Lord, I got things in my life that I know that have become idols and I'm addicted to it. I couldn't get away from it. And I'm not talking about coffee. And I'm not even talking about the physical things like cocaine, obviously, that are wrong, and painkillers. And all. I'm saying that there's things that we are so passionate about in our life that we could not go through a day or two without looking on social media or reading about a certain hobby or participating in something. But it doesn't bother me at all that I can live without giving out a track, that I can live without praying to God, that I can miss church without even bothering me. It's because I'm so much like this. I can't deal without that. And once again, there is nothing wrong with things that are some type of little hobbies. You know what I'm talking about. You've been around me long enough. You know I'm not just saying, hey, you should never ever play a sport because it's all evil. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is when you have such a love and such a hard interest in it and you have so many things that are pulling you and this is the reason why you're alive, this is what I live for. And when it comes to my spiritual things, I'm so weak and anemic. I don't even enjoy reading my Bible. I don't get anything out of it. I don't understand it. God never answers my prayers. It's because of the fact that we've become so much like something else. We have gone so weak and anemic that we have no strength, no power. Instead, it's easier to talk like it does in verse number 2, 3, and 4. We like to flatter with our lips. We like to have a double heart when we speak. Well, I love God. And then our lives don't show it. Tonight, I think we're going to spend some time talking about the story in verse number 12. and looking at how God found certain people to show himself strong in the Bible, that were in bad spots. And I'm not lifting up any individuals. God's the one that uses people and chooses who uses. But there are ones that God will bless and use. Look in chapter number 11, verse number 7. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. He loves it when we're right. And then it continues on. Verse number 6, you know, this is what's going to happen to the wicked. This is what he cares about the right. His countenance doth behold the upright. Church, the foundations have been taken away when it comes to many things that we love in this country. And I still love America. I still believe there's a hope for America that only comes from God. But there are certain things that have been pulled away from us that we never thought would be taken away, or at least not so quickly, and certain things that are being pushed aside and certain things that are being laid out there. And our foundations might come crashing down to where you can't even go to church someday. What will the righteous do? What are you going to do when that happens? You're going to have to learn how to trust God. You don't have to listen to what everybody else, the well-intentioned people will say. Samuel, the man that loved the Lord and did so many wonderful things, looks at David's older brothers and sees him standing there and saying, surely this is the Lord, it's anointed. But Samuel had probably been spending so much time with Saul and thinking, that's the type of guy we needed, where the person they really needed was over there in the shepherd field. Samuel should have listened to God's leading and let God say, hey, that's the one I want. But we let the Sauls of the world that look good tell us what we should be doing and how we should be thinking. And we become to a point where we start saying, this is what we need. But the most important and most dangerous thing that can happen in a person's life is that you get out of God's will right now. Your country needs you. Your family needs you. Your church needs you. Find out whatever God's will is and do it. Don't be so fascinated with the things of this world that God's going to have to say, that's not somebody I can really use because they love this more than they love me. Church, I want to encourage you today. I do. What will the righteous do? Or specifically in verse number 3, what can the righteous do? They can trust God. They can trust in his word. And they can live a godly life. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about what it means about faithful and virtuous and godly. And we're going to look at different times in history when things, the foundations were all taken away, but God found someone he could bless. God found someone he could use. David's one of those things, and we'll probably even look at that. Samuel was saying, hey, this has got to be God's anointing. God's like, no. I found me a man. I found someone. And it's not someone like that. It's someone who has my heart. A man after God's own heart. So the encouragement today is, do you know him? Because we read in chapter number 11 what's going to happen to the wicked and to those that do not know him. Let me encourage you today, if you do not know him, God loves you. He died for you to pay your sin debt because all men are sinners. And I know this morning's message was mostly to those that are believers already, but you should make sure that your heart is right and in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or you don't have a very pretty future. And to those that are sitting here today, many that have been in church for a lot of the years of their life, they love the Lord, and they're looking at people like David's brother saying, you know what, that's a faithful guy, that's a good guy. And God is looking at our hearts and saying, how come you're addicted to this and not me? How come you're so passionate about this but not passionate about me? How come you love doing this, but it's such a struggle for you to do that? Say, Pastor, isn't that normal and natural? That's normal and natural for someone who does not feed the Spirit. You can learn to love your Bible and enjoy your Bible as you meditate and read it. It becomes part of you. As you pray and get your answers to prayer, you look for that next day of prayer. When you sing those songs and you rejoice in the Lord because he's done it in your life, just like Miss Karen sang this morning, it's in her spirit and her soul and the idea of what God can do. How do I know he's real? It's because he's what he's done for me. But we make ourselves so weak and so anemic sometimes that as we open up our Bibles, it's like a struggle just to do anything. There's something else that has taken our attention. There's something else that we've fallen in love with that we should repent of and say, God, I don't want to love anything more than you. And we should look to say, what is a godly, faithful, virtuous person? Help me to be that person. God, I don't want you to have to look anywhere else. You can choose to use me if you want to or not, but I don't want you to have to go somewhere else because there's a sin in my life. I think there's a verse in the New Testament that talks about when Christ returns, will he find faith on the earth? I don't know if I quoted it perfect. But when he returns, will he find those that actually believe and trust in him? This morning, are you a godly person? Ask God to help you. We all have been to that spot where we're addicted or passionate about things more than we've been about God, and needs to change. What will the righteous do? What can the righteous do? They can trust God. He's still in the holy temple. He's still on his throne. They can trust in his word. It's been proven. They can be steadfast. Charles Spurgeon looked at said Psalms 11 was the psalm of steadfast. Because even though the foundations go, you still stay true. And even though it seems like everything else is going crazy, I still trust in the Lord. And that's what David said. Help us to say that also. Help us to seek to be godly individuals. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I know that some of the parts of the message, if taken to heart, can be very challenging. And Lord, I know that you've challenged me this weekend with these thoughts. We look around and there's not as many godly people. Lord, we need godliness. We need righteousness. We need faithful men and virtuous women. We need people's hearts who are right with you, perfect to you. We need men and women who will stand in the gap. Help us not to be infatuated with the things of this world. Help us to, as it talks about in the book of Acts, be so different that the only thing they can say is that they spent time with Jesus. Turn the world upside down, Lord. Help us to turn our own life upside down, our own families, our own churches for you, by being faithful, godly individuals. In Jesus' name, amen.